Lord, we ask this evening that somebody be healed. We ask that somebody receive direction. We ask that everyone here will receive understanding. For those of us that you correct, Lord, we receive correction. We receive rebuke in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for what you'll be doing here. Above all, let Jesus be glorified. In the name of Jesus, we have prayed. Amen. Let's invite our brother Felix to take the Bible reading.
Praise the Lord. Let's open our Bible to the book of Psalms. Psalm 19. The heavens are telling of the glory of God, and their expanse is declaring the work of his hands. Day to day pours forth speech, and night to night reveals knowledge. There is no speech, nor are there words. Their voice is not heard. Their line has gone out through all the earth, and their utterances to the end of the world. In them he has placed a tent for the sun, which is as a bridegroom coming out of his chamber. It rejoices as a strong man to run his course. Its rising is from one end of the heavens, and its circuit to the other end of them. And there is nothing hidden from his heat. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The precepts of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true. They are righteous altogether. They are more desirable than gold. Yes, than such fine gold. Sweeter also than honey, and the drippings of the honeycomb. Moreover, by them their servant is warned. In keeping them there is great reward. Who can discern his errors? Acquaint me of hidden faults. Also keep back thy servant from presumptuous sins. Let them not rule over me. Then I shall be blameless, and I shall be acquitted of great transgression. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah. All right, the Lord is good.
All the time.
I said the Lord is good.
All the time.
If you believe, give me an amen.
Amen.
There's a way we declare the word of God when we want to start studying. You'll find it on that first page. Scan it now. We're going to start declaration together. All right, 1, 2, let's go. Now I declare.
Now
I declare that the Lord has given me the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. And I'm being filled with the knowledge of his will, in all spiritual wisdom and understanding. As a result of this, I'm walking in a manner worthy of the Lord. I am pleasing him in all respects. I'm bearing fruit in every good work. And I'm increasing in the knowledge of God. Now again, I incline my ears to his word. The word is entering my heart. It is giving me light and direction. It is healing me in every area. And it's making me more and more like the Lord Jesus. In the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen.
Amen.
I said amen.
Amen.
Amen. One more time.
Amen.
That will be your testimony today in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
The word will enter your heart.
Amen.
It will give you light.
Amen.
It will give you direction.
Amen.
It will give you wisdom to solve difficult problems.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
One of the things I like about the word is, at least happens to me, and I've had so many testimonies from other people, you just get this understanding of how to make a decision. Yeah, it happens a lot. It happens a lot. Sometimes I finish preaching here. Let me preach you. Instantly, I make a decision. There was a day I did something. I was thinking about doing something. Then I preached here and I said, never try to promote yourself. And instantly I realized that what I was doing was trying to promote myself. It just helped me with the decision. I knew I was trying to promote myself. So today, understanding will come to you.
Amen.
And you will make the decision that is pleasing to the Lord.
Amen.
Everything you have to do in life, one is pleasing, one is displeasing. You see, let me just say something before you sit down. That is spirituality. To know that which is pleasing and that which is not pleasing. You know, a man talked to me at that time. He said so many things about the nation, things that need to be corrected and all of that. At the end of the day, as he was talking, I wasn't even understanding him well. He was speaking at length with a lot of passion. And I was getting confused. And he was talking to me one-on-one. So I just prayed. I said, Lord, what do I tell this man? As soon as he was done talking, I said, this is the answer, sir. Young men need to be taught how to make the right decisions. And he paused. Listen to me. Spirituality is not, have I prayed, has God spoken to me? Spirituality is that, do I know how to make decisions that are pleasing to God based on scriptures? Not, I finished praying. Then my spirit said, go to the left. Those things only happen when there's no clear, no direction, like blue or white. Which one should you take? The Bible may not talk about that. So the Holy Spirit may have to tell you. All right? But should somebody else speak before you, you don't need anybody, you don't need the Holy Spirit to tell you that. The Bible says, prefer one another in love. That is simple. You take examples of people like Abraham. Anyway, what am I saying? Today, insight, revelation, understanding, how to make the right decisions, it will come to you in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
By the time you are living here today, you will be clearer in knowing what is right to do about that situation in the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
All right, the Lord is good. Let's take our seats. The Lord is good. I said the Lord is good. Now, by God's mercies, I hope to happen. We'll finish this series we have been on, building up your faith today. And I trust the Lord will help us to finish what I've been trying to introduce for some time on the matter of the words that we speak. Let's go by it again. Four important areas where I said we can deliberately. Now, I've been using the word deliberately. Those are things that are like what we call low-hanging fruit, all right, in planning. Those are things that God puts within our capacity that you do this. When it gets to the big things, I will do those things. Like we emphasized again and again that if anything appears hard, that nothing in following Christ Jesus is hard. He said, my yoke is easy and what? My burden is light. That is a matter of fact. If you see Daniel go to the lion's den, if you see Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego face the fiery furnace, Jesus said, it is light. Are you getting my point? It is for those who are observing from outside that some of those things appear very difficult. The fact is that his yoke is easy and his burden is light. And how can you say somebody facing a fiery furnace is light? It's simply because Paul said, by the grace of God, I am what I am. That is, if you ask somebody like Mishael, how did you face the fiery furnace? That's Meshach. He will say, by the grace of God, I am what I am. Facing difficult situations is by God's grace, not by your own power. So when he says, my yoke is easy and my burden is light, to those looking from outside, it does not look like that. Okay? It's like going to a man like Samson. And you say, Samson, how did you carry, which gym did you go to? No, let's talk about it. How did you manage to carry the gates of a whole city all by yourself? And you didn't just carry it and throw it down, you carried it up a hill. Hey! Waiting. You don't need anybody to tell you. Everybody else knew it was not humanly possible. So carrying it, is it easy? Humanly possible? That's humanly speaking, no. But for Samson, was it hard? It was not hard. And that's what I want Christians to understand. Samson did not find carrying that thing difficult. It was not heavy as far as Samson was concerned. If it was heavy, why would he try to do that? It was simple for him. That was just when they looked at the gate, yanked it up, put it on his shoulder, and ran up a hill. Not a big deal. Now, because everybody knew it was not humanly possible, they now went and asked, what is the secret of your strength? There had to be a secret to it. Like, of course, if you have thought about it, you know it to be a matter of fact. Samson was not very muscular. He wasn't. He was not Arnold Schwarzenegger at all. He was not Lee Haney. He was not Hulk Hogan. He wasn't at all. He was a normal guy like you and me. I suspect I may have been bigger. I may be bigger now than Samson was. I suspect, all right? Maybe he looks more like Israel. You know, this is the junior Israel. Maybe, you know, so that any average Philistine will think I will wound this guy until the Spirit comes upon him. That's the point I'm making. To do great things, all right, the Spirit had to come upon him. Do you follow my point? You see a man like this, all right, take the gate of this complex and yanks it off the pillars. You don't need to say, man, this guy is strong. You say, oh boy, what spirit is he using? It's automatic. I hope I get my point. Your mind just knows. And that's how it was with Samson. And let's not forget, that's how it's supposed to be with us Christians also. We will do great things, not by our power. Great faith is an impartation of the Spirit. There's no method for it. But God says, I have given you little things to do. Like Samson, watch where you go. If you haven't read my book, Beyond Gifts and Talents, please go and read the book. All right? Samson was killed by Delilah simply because the big things did not depend on him, it depended on small things that he did. So Delilah just came and attacked the small things. So the great things stopped happening in his life because the grace was no longer being supplied.
That's how come Delilahs are very powerful, because they don't go for the big things also. It's a spiritual principle. They also know that let's go for the small things. All right? And we undermine the fellow's ability to do that which is great. So let's bear that in mind. So what are the little things that God has given to us to do? It's easy. These things are easy things. Number one, we've said it. Anytime something happens in your life, look, try to explain it from the scriptures. Number two, have your life, your expectations for life built on the word of God. Number three, that's what we've been on. That is the precepts, okay, that you operate by. Just learn God's word. I'm getting married. What does it mean to be a Christian husband? It's not hard. It's like going to school. It's like learning physics, biology, civic education, computer science, basic things in secondary school. What does God expect a Christian husband to behave like? A Christian wife, I should learn it. I'll just sit down and be learning. You know, sometimes I tell my wife something. I say, a lot of Christian wives, they do something. You know, let me, now this sounds very funny, right? And I know all of you are awake now. Once I talk about marriage, everybody, the ones who are dozing, we wake up. The spirit will come upon them. But it's a matter of fact. I said to a lot of women that you spend a lot of time trying to defend yourself rather than trying to submit. There's a situation now. I want my children and I to travel during this Christmas. So you know what people do? Women gather actually and they tell themselves how to persuade your husband. Do you know that is evil statement? That statement is evil. The heart is wrong. I don't know. Are you getting my point? Let me give you a word. That is what is called witchcraft. You don't have to go to the coven and be dancing half naked before you become a witch. You can use this Bible to turn yourself into a witch. You hear things like, you cook for him, you will rub his back. Those are all witchcraft principles. Every single one of them. None of them godly. You know why? The motive is wrong. The motive is what? Manipulative. You even hear many people teach how to talk to your husband, and they are still witching. They are still on a witching trip. Because the whole thing is what? How to get what I want. When it comes home, you put your knee down and say, my husband, how was the day? And then you cook his best meal. Jezebel, Delilah, that was the same thing they did. So don't think you are a Christian. You think Delilah got that thing, arguing with something? You think Delilah got the secret of his strength, arguing with him? You will tell me today or you will not touch me. He didn't try that. She didn't try that. She also rubbed his back, cooked his best meal, mixed his wine. All of it, witchcraft. So we are finished with that. Nobody's a witch in this house again. Amen? And many of you were until now. Deliverance I just conducted. The Lord is good. It's not your fault. It is what they preach. Even Okebute has organized seminar teaching women witchcraft. Pastors do it all the time. They don't know it's wrong. That's the truth. They don't know it's wrong. Well, what does the Bible say? You should settle down and say, now listen to this. How do I drop this my desire and not feel bad? That is what is Christianity. Not how do I manipulate to have it done. I don't want to teach you marriage now. You see what the Bible says. Very, very different from what they practice. But the point I'm making is this. We'll go there and go and learn. You learn how do I stop nagging. That is, I'm still sitting on it. Many people, you know, we don't understand our assignment. Women gather a lot of times to learn how to manipulate in peace. But it's not Christianity. They're supposed to settle down, you know, and learn how to submit. There's a difference between submitting and I'm sorry to say this. 90%, I've heard people teach. I said, this is not Christianity. This is witchcraft people are teaching these women. And it sounds so scriptural, because when they get in there, it's how do I get what I want without having to nag? How do I get what I want without having to cause trouble in the house? But the Bible says, what should you learn? How do I stop wanting what I want? That's the word of God. Aha. Thank you for that thunderous silence. And now, of course, you go and think. I know now you are thinking. So, what do? We settle down and learn. I own a business. There is a way the Bible says a Christian boss should be. There's a way. More and more. Please, let me take the first announcement now. Our business by the Spirit is next weekend. There will be no flyer. We ain't going to wrangle with any jingles, nothing. This announcement you have heard is the first. You hear a second one at the end. You hear another one on Tuesday. Then on Friday, we'll be here. And on Saturday, we'll be here the whole day. So it's going to be titled what? Business by the Spirit. You say, why didn't you announce it before? It's only for in-house people. If your friend comes with you, we won't drive him. Don't worry, we won't drive her. It's just that we're not trying to promote the programs that people will now come. You know, human beings are very covetous. They won't come and hear the word. When you say, how do you do business, they will come. And those are the people I don't want. Do you get my point? So let those of us who have been studying the word of God together, let's just get some practical things out to help us in the way we run our ministries. Now, when I say ministry now, I know what I mean. Because everything, that's actually why I got into that. Because one of the things that Christians must learn is that every job they have in life is a ministry. Everything you're doing is a ministry. All right? So you're supposed to learn as a believer, how do I run my business ministry? Some of us have a preaching ministry. Motherhood is a ministry. In fact, like I say, I'm back to marriage matter now. Being a husband is a ministry. It's an assignment. One of the jobs a woman has to do, a man also has it, but I just want to say something about women for a moment, is that they must learn how to provoke the anointing that that office carries. It's an office. No, Jesus was anointed. You know that? Was he anointed or was not anointed? I mean, both from the testimonies and then from the scriptures, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. He was anointed heavily, but he went to his own hometown. And how many people did he heal with serious sicknesses? None. He touched only a few sickly people. They were not so ill. You know, mother of, Peter with headaches, stuff like that. That was all he touched, and then they were fine. But people who, you know, open blind eyes, stuff like that, raised the dead, not in his own hometown. Was it because he was not anointed? No, Sammy. What was the reason? On his part? On whose part? The receiver's part. So as a wife, you can kill the anointing on your husband. It doesn't mean he's not anointed. You can kill it. You utter two sentences, you become foolish like Naba. And you will not ever suspect that you are the reason. So anytime he says something, he's never right. Yes, how can he be right? I know hometown people are the most serious killers of anointing. The person that can kill a husband's anointing the most is the husband, is the wife. The man wake up in the morning and the Holy Spirit will still be sleeping on his bed. The Holy Spirit can't get up. Because the woman has killed the anointing. It's possible. No, read your Bible. Those who killed his anointing the most were the people in his own hometown. They were like, I hear you are now doing miracles. Jesus, now wow. Did we learn that in carpentry? I always knew you were odd. His cousins, his relatives, his neighbors couldn't get anything. That is why the man will go out, utter words of wisdom, and people's lives will change. He comes home, he can't say one thing right. Why? It's hometown now. It's called hometown effect. I'm telling you the truth. People don't realize it. This is a very, maybe we should do marriage by the Spirit also. After business by the Spirit. They don't realize it. See, everything in life has its own risks. The risk of familiarity is the killing of anointing. That when you are too familiar with somebody, you will kill the anointing. You can't, that is, when I say you can't help it, that it's natural. You have to work extra to get over it. So you will tell yourself, this man, as much as I know you well, I've seen you clothed and naked, I refuse to be your hometown's man. Deliberately. That is, I wake up in the morning, I build my faith that, no, I will not despise the... Listen to me. That is why you activate grace that was sent to you. It is possible for God to send grace to somebody, and the person won't receive it. That's why I said he came unto his own, and his own did not receive him. It happens. God will put grace upon a man. Go to your home. Listen, go and read the story of Michal. Micah's problem in the Bible was that she was the most familiar to David. With David. That was her problem. That was her problem. Everybody, the Bible says, listen to this. The Bible says that David blessed the whole of Israel. Then he returned to bless his household after they had brought the ark back. That his anointing was flowing. He had danced and danced and danced. He was dancing. The woman was getting angry. Then when he returned to bless his household, what did he meet? Unbelief on her part. Blocked all the anointing the man came home with. And the Bible commented. And therefore, she did not bear all the days of her life. That's a serious comment. What was her problem that other people had not faced before? Hannah faced the problem, overcame it. Manoah's wife faced the problem, overcame it. Elizabeth faced the problem, overcame it. All over the people were overcoming the problems. But in Micah's case, too much familiarity with David. And the whole of Israel can be worshiping you as king in this house. As I tell your wife, stop calling your husband as my baby. It's a very stupid comment. It's worldliness. I told my wife, don't call me your baby. I'm not your baby. Akilu is your baby. Benga is your baby. I'm not your baby. I'm your husband for goodness sake. Why do you take pride in stupid things? Why don't you enjoy the other one? He said, well, I'm trying to be free. Why must your freedom lead you into worldliness? Why can't you use freedom to kneel down on both rows, on both knees, in the betting market to greet? When you are free, is what you call bad behavior your freedom allows you into. Can't you see that you're walking in sin? I'm free. Honestly, I'm free. One day I met my chief at the airport. A woman was my chief. I went to pick her from the airport. I prostrated in the parking lot in the airport. She said, Banky, stop embarrassing me. I said, Oga, you are my chief. I won't say because we are both pathologists now. You now come, I'll just say, madam, how now? There's no madam, how now? That is freedom. That means I'm free. Oh, Lord. Let me stop because if I don't stop, this will become our Magic by the Spirit seminar. Let's get back to our message. So like we're saying, so we deliberately go and learn some of these things. They may not come to us naturally. So what are the precepts? The precepts by which I run my business as a Christian, I have to learn it. It may not be what everybody else is practicing, but it's something I deliberately cultivate. All right? The precept by which I run my career, I have to learn it. And please let me say it again. Christianity is radical. Christianity is self-denial. You may have to do things that everybody else will think you are foolish, but that's what Christianity is. Until you're being thought of as foolish a few times, your Christianity is still shaky. Is when people start making decisions that do not fly with the common trend. That is when you know that really you are walking in Christianity. And you are not trying to be foolish, actually. To you, what you are doing is reasonable. Like I was saying earlier, Samson didn't think the gate was heavy. It's not as if he finished with the gate. He was panting. I almost died. No. He dropped the gate and continued like nothing happened. Do you follow my point? Why? Because he was walking by grace. So in the same manner, when the grace of God enlightens your heart, you will make decisions that until somebody points out the foolishness of it to you, so it's not foolish. Why? It's in line with how you have been trained. All right? Whether somebody is foolish or wise depends on the amount of training you have had. So if you have been trained with the word of God, it will look to you like sound decisions. Okay, those things will look to you like sound decisions. But to the people who have not been trained with the word, it will look like you are doing something that is foolish. That's what we are talking about here. So we deliberately do those things. And like I said, these are low-hanging fruit when it comes to Christianity and faith. That is, just settle down, learn. What did God say? What did he say? How should we do it? It may not look nice, to the flesh, but if that's what he has prescribed, then we follow that. We train ourselves in small things. And the big things we take care of themselves. And last of all, which is what we are talking about now, is the words that we speak. Those words are important. We must again deliberate. Remember we are talking about things we can do what? Deliberately. Now there's something the Lord Jesus Christ talked about. And that's what I want to pick up from today. If you check where we read just now, our Bible reading. Psalm 19. All right. Yeah, Psalm 19. There are some things that you see. He said from verse 7, the law of the Lord is perfect, restoring the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The precepts of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. It said the fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. He now said to us, the judgments of the Lord are true, they are righteous altogether. Now, there's one I want to read. One verse. Yeah, verse 11. So he now said in verse 11, moreover, by them thy servant is warned. In keeping them, there is great reward. Now, what I wanted from there is when he said, thy servant is warned. That these are things thy servant will go out to go and learn. I hope you're getting my point here. Yes, that's what we do. Now, please bear this in mind. I was going to quote something the Lord Jesus Christ said, and he said, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Now, two things I want to talk about today. Number one, filling the heart with abundant truth. And number two, I'm talking about the concept again, which we began last time, of acceptable words, which he told us here in the last verse, verse 14. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight. Let me quickly review that. I said anytime we speak, we can be saying things that are acceptable before God, or we may be saying things that are not acceptable before God. If you remember, I think it's in Philippians chapter 1, that Paul says something to us, that we are supposed to learn to approve the things that are excellent. She says Philippians, right? Yes, around verses 9 and 10, chapter 1. So verse 9, it says, and this I pray, that your love may abound still more and more in real knowledge and all discernment, so that you may approve the things that are excellent, in order to be sincere and blameless until the day of Christ. Let me just stop reading that one there. Now, bear it in mind. He said that you may approve the things that are excellent. I was making a statement, all right, from what David said, that let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight. I was saying that anytime you speak, what you are saying can be acceptable or the opposite in the eyes of God. Now, I needed to put that last phrase, in the eyes of God, because to the world, it may be, how they feel may be different. What we believers are going for is how something sounds as far as God is concerned. Now, when the Bible uses the word acceptable, it doesn't mean passing. Let me quickly emphasize that. When we use the word acceptable as far as God is concerned, what it means is not what you and I we call acceptable in the natural realm. For example, you go to the tailor, he makes a dress for you. And then he says, how is the dress? You say it's acceptable. Now, what that means is that it's not really what you like. Do you get my point? But because you need it for tomorrow morning, you just have to manage, like we say in common English, what you have. Now, that's not what the Bible means when it says acceptable. When it says acceptable, as far as God is concerned, only one thing is acceptable. I hope you're getting my point. Only one thing is acceptable with God, and that is that which is perfect. Let me explain it further. If you bring a sacrifice before God, it is acceptable only if it fits his prescription. He will tell you the animal must be without blemish. That is what is acceptable. It doesn't mean what is manageable the way we talk about it. It means what will God accept. Now, so we're not talking about just passing by. We are talking about doing that which is perfect in the eyes of God. Now, the words that we speak are like that also. It is not everything that we say that God likes to hear. It is not everything that we say. That when we utter words with our mouth, we have a choice to deliberately, and this will surprise you if I say it, God has a specific list of things that you can say, and you can't go beyond that list. Now, don't think because words are so many, the number of words you can use in God's presence are just as varied. It's not really true. There are millions of words, quite all right. I'm not saying they're just 5 or 10, but they have a limit. The world, one of the things it does is to introduce things that God does not accept and try to make them become normal. Do you understand? Now, it's a trick. That is, for example, if they want to make homosexuality look normal, they give a new word to it. They call it gay. Do you get my point? Now, that word is not acceptable as far as God is concerned, because it was a word that existed, had a different meaning, but it's been corrupted. It's a word to him that calls good evil and evil good. All right. That is when you take what is wrong and you place a word on it that connotes it is acceptable. That is very wrong. That is iniquity. And God say woe to you if you do stuff like that. For example, a young man, one day we were talking, you know, one of the things that young men do, like instead of saying somebody is a thief, you say he's 419 or he's, use other words, Yahoo. You use words to, you know, trivialize the fact that this guy is a crook and he should go to jail. So if we just call him the right word, that guy is a thief. You know, fewer people will go there. But when we remove the proper word, when I use, you know, acceptable, you know, in the colloquial sense now, words that are more okay. So people just accept it. So say the guy is a sharp guy. The idea is this. Even though he's a thief, even though he steals, even though without a gun, we don't want to say he's a thief. We will say that the man is so intelligent, he's taking advantage of his intelligence to make money. We deliberately jump one point. He's defrauding people. He's stealing from people. He's ruining lives. That's what I mean. If we would just call it the way it is, what does that boy do? The boy is a thief. You don't want to just say it like that. You know, all of these discussions will come to an end. They use words like, is it a, tell someone, what does that guy do? They say he's a male prostitute. Don't call him a risk to anything. He's a male prostitute. You know, for few guys, will stop that rubbish. You know, what the world does is, so they calm these things down. They don't talk about, in fact, when they want to campaign for homosexual marriages, they call it marriage equality. They take words and take things that are wrong, baptize them with good words. It's a trick, as I was saying to you. It's a trick of the world. And one of the ways you keep yourself from doing iniquity is to call things the way they are. This is stealing. So, boy, we should go and, they don't say that, let's go and bypass EEDC meter. Say, let's go and steal their power. If you use the words like that, you know, the Holy Spirit will be able to talk to you quicker. I hope you're getting my point here. Now, so, in everything we say, there are words that God accepts. That's where I was beginning from. And the duty of a believer is to go and learn them. That's my emphasis for today. Go and learn acceptable words. Unfortunately, I have to go back because the best example, really, to the area of marriage, again, as an example. Now, my wife and I, we talk about this those days, and many of you have heard me teach about it. I said, have you noticed that the word that most people think, and listen, you have to condition yourself in this life. You know what they call conditioning? That is, for example, I don't watch football. It's conditioning. As a young man, to me, I liked football. But I realized I was going to die, so I stopped watching football. Yes, because if Nigeria is playing, if any team I'm supporting is playing, I get a fever. And I don't mean as a joke. My heart will be beating like this. You know, I look at coaches who sit on the pitch. I say, how do you guys manage? And they're just chewing gum. And be looking like nothing's happening. I say, like, you guys have a spirit I don't have. So now I don't want to enjoy football anymore. It's just a decision I made. Like, look, you are watching final UEFA Cup, you know what, World Cup. They've been playing World Cup finals if I didn't even know. Because it started when I realized that this is not the recipe for long life and prosperity. I get too emotionally attached to any team I'm supporting. So that's why I try my best to just close my ears and just go away. All right? But why I'm giving the example is that, so as of today, I'm the opposite of a football fan. I'm not against football, though. But if they are playing, I don't even notice. It's called conditioning. You can condition yourself to enjoy some things. It's possible. I'll give you this illustration that till now, well, somebody has answered it for me, which is why I'm talking about it. I didn't understand why anybody should drink beer. Beer, you know, beer. Now, I'm not trying to preach to you, the soul that drinketh, it shall die. That's not what I'm trying to say. I'm trying to say that it has a foul taste, as far as I'm concerned. And I was just curious, why do men sit down? You see them sit down and tarry at the bottle, like the Bible says. Until one of my colleagues, I was just bringing it up like this, like I'm doing now, one day in the office, we're talking about it. And he said to me, he said, Oga, it's a taste you learn. You did not learn it at the right time. The moment he said it, I got my answer. He said, look, there's a time you cultivate the culture of drinking beer, drinking, you know, the black stout, you know, that at that time you were going to church. You were singing in the spirit. So it has passed you by. Sorry. Next life, maybe God will allow you to discover it. Are you getting my point? The point is, I said, it's an acquired taste. And that thing stuck with me, that we can actually, you know, decide to enjoy some things and refuse to enjoy some other things. In this life, that's what we do with our lives. Just, you know, programming ourselves, reprogramming ourselves. When the Bible says, be not conformed to this world, be transformed. That's what it's talking about. The word mind there is not just talking about your thoughts. It's talking about the process of reasoning. When the Bible talks about your thoughts, it talks about heart. But mind talks about how you process things. So you are transformed by how you, that is in the way you process information. For example, what you call good is to be transformed by the renewing of your interpretation of what you call good. You understand what I'm saying? That is a good example. Who is a better friend? The one that invites you to come and make money, or the one that invites you to come and give money? The Bible says it's more blessed to give than to receive. Any money, making money is not bad. Both of them are good. But it says, if your friend calls you and says, listen, John, I heard you just made some money. That's good. There are two boys who are doing, they are supposed to be doing their exam next week, for maybe SSCE and JAMB, and their parents can't pay. In fact, the father goes, they are even out of a home right now. You're talking about paying for SSCE exam. So I know you just earned some money last week. Oh boy, bring the money. That's a friend, right? There's another friend that says, oh, but that money you brought, if you give it to these people, they will double it for you in a year and in 2 years. Then you'll be able to make some more money. Both of them are friends. But the Bible says it's more blessed to give. So you should appreciate the man that calls you when there's an opportunity to be a blessing, more than the person that calls you when there's an opportunity to receive. It doesn't feel natural to the body, does it? But it's the word of the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul said it. These are the words of Jesus himself. He said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. Again, it's something we learn. You know, I was giving marriage as an example. So I tell people, I said, in our culture, we've learned that when you want to see a very, you know, very good couple, a woman that's very, very close to her husband, calls him honey, sugar, what else? My baby, iniquity. Are you getting my point? I said, but as sweet as those things are, and listen, honey is not bad. Is anybody called honey in the Bible? Because Song of Solomon used a lot of dramatic words, but I know my beloved, my love is what he used. Did he say honey at any point in time? I will check it after. Remind me. In fact, that's your assignment, man of God. Go and find out whether the Bible calls anybody sweetie, sugar, you know, anything like that. Now, it's a cultural thing. But even the Bible is in my beloved. All right, you see that in Songs of Solomon. Okay? Okay? And if you see, even God talked about it. But in everything he said, when he wanted to give commendation, the only person the Bible commended was Sarah. And he said, because she called her husband my Lord. And for a long time, I had finished writing the book, Should I Say Yes, before I finally got the meaning of the word my Lord. Because I was trying to bring that, because that is an archaic way of speaking, that is old terminology. So I said, what is the modern equivalent of that? So I kept on wondering. Then finally I got it. It's the way people addressed their bosses. Is the way slaves addressed their masters. Are you getting my point? The modern word is sir. So if you, that these days now you get to the office, the word you use is what? Sir. Now, let's now get back to it. You know, if a man calls her his wife and she says sir, which village do you come from? Do you get my point? Do they still make your type? Are you an archaic woman? Be a modern woman. That's how people are invited into iniquity. How do I know it's the right thing? The Bible says so. That's all. That's all. You understand my point? I'm talking about, you know, approving the things that are what? Excellent. When it comes to words like that also, there are things we deliberately learn. You've seen my example before. I mean, everybody used to play pre-fool. Then one day, I read my Bible. And it says, it's like a madman casting firebrands and arrows. Let me explain what I'm trying to say. It's like arrows, firebrands and arrows is how people fought those days. Do you get my point? You hear the Bible talks about shield of faith with which you do what? Quench the fiery darts. That's it. Firebrands. Fire-tipped arrows. So the modern word, therefore, is like a madman shooting at random. So it's one who deceives his neighbor and says, "Was I not joking?" Now, it doesn't sound natural, does it? No, it does not sound natural. But the Bible says that is how it should be. So the day I read it, I stopped playing April Fool. Do you follow my point? That is why, remember what I'm discussing is what? Acceptable words. Do you know how you greet somebody in the morning? There's a biblical prescription for it. Say, don't greet your neighbor loud. If you want to bless somebody, you don't stay on the road and be blessing the person from afar. That's what the Bible is saying. Oh, if you surprise some people, it's in scriptures like that. The words to use, you know, how you respond, even when you are rebuked, God has prescribed those words. Even told Timothy, you are the pastor of this church, modern word pastor, but so he was more like an apostle those days, representing Paul. All right? But you are the pastor of the church. He said, somebody is doing what is wrong, rebuke him sharply, openly in front of everybody. He said, but if it's an elder, no. And when he's talking about elder, he was not talking about leaders of the church. What he meant is that if an older person is a member of your church, being pastor does not give you a right to talk to your seniors anyhow. He said, do not rebuke an elder sharply. You will call him and say, Mr. John, please, I would like to see you after service. He said, you implore him like a father. You sit him down, explain to him, sir, people coming late is not good, you know. Like, but if he's younger than you, say, come, stay outside there. If you come in, you can shout to him. He said, no problem. Where's an elder? No, you talk to him after service. You talk to him, you entreat him like a father. Prescription on how you talk. How you greet people. How are you? It's not scriptural greeting. It's English culture. How are you is not a greeting, it's a question. What is the biblical greeting? Peace be unto you. The Bible expects you to prophesy to people, bless people. When you get to a house, you say, peace be upon this home. I tell you, Christianity is what? Radical. What is how are you? That's a question. Even me, I'm not saying I'm perfect. I fall for it. Just I remember this, how are you? It's a question. There are times where, you really are making an inquiry. Are you getting my point? I mean, how was your exam? If you want to know, how did it go? But if you have not seen it, you just say, you know, Englishman say, how do you do? How do you do? That's it, you know? Confusion. That's nothing. If you want to make a request, make an inquiry, make an inquiry. It's not a greeting. Whatever is a greeting, please bless the person. You've heard it, you know, the way Muslims greet is how? Salam alaikum. I have a friend, that's how he greets. I said, are you a Muslim? He said, no, it's a greeting. And he thinks it's not an Islamic greeting. It's actually the, you know, Arabic equivalent of shalom. Salam. That for them is the same thing as shalom. So you call me on the phone, they say, Salam alaikum, sir. I said, are you a Muslim? They say, no, it means peace be unto you. And that's how Christians should greet. It's a blessing. It's a prophetic way of speaking. You declare the word of God, the peace of God into the person's life. When I started greeting people, it is well with you. It was a deliberate thing. I didn't hear anybody say it. I deliberately, at least I made up my mind. Henceforth, this is how I will greet. I will tell people, it is well with you. Let me add another one to it. We're talking about greetings briefly. You know, I'm talking about acceptable words, right? Somebody's traveling. Don't tell the person, bye-bye. You know why? It doesn't have any meaning. He's going to go whether you say bye-bye or not. Bye-bye just means get out of here. Are you getting my point? Uh-huh. Does it mean more than that? Goodbye is even better. If you put the good. Bye-bye, meaningless. But let's even be more prophetic. Have a safe journey. You know, safe journey is even good, but I don't like to use the word safe journey. Let somebody know you are praying for him. You are praying for her. Somebody wants to travel. Say, have a safe journey. Have a safe trip. The Lord go with you. I hope you're getting my point. You tell the fellow, you will return safely. The peace of God upon your journey. Find words. Listen, do you know the truth? God has written these words. Now, they are not things we are managing, that we are conjuring up. They are words he has written down. If I find a pregnant woman, I want to greet you. I always send you to Isaiah chapter 66, verse 9. There are words in the Bible used to greet people. I told you, when my children, when I draw them off in school in the morning, when my wife or me will tell them, have a blessed day. They've learned that you don't say, thank you. I'm not your friend. Even if I was your friend. Now I'm your father, I'm prophesying for you. I'm your mother, I'm telling you how your day will go. So have a blessed day. So they answer, amen. It's a prayer. It's a prayer, it's not a wish. Christians are prophetic people. They are prophetic people. Sometimes you hear people, very negative human beings. Government will say something, that government is planning to do something, and the thing sounds good. The average Nigerian response is that, that's how they say it now. They will soon eat the money. That is a sin, and if any Christian says that, he will be judged for it. There are things you should say. Say, as you have said in our hearing, so you will do. You command the atmosphere. Say, Lord, they are ensnared by the words of their mouth. So that even if the man didn't want to do it, he will do it. If he tries to eat the money, he will choke. But when we all unanimously gather and say, this is what they say, it never works. Government is making road. This road, it will not last. The road can't last. If enough of the remnants of God in the earth say it will not last, it will not last. You've heard the story, I've not confirmed it myself, but it's a very beautiful illustration. Of one of some island men, how they, when they see a big tree and they want to remove the tree from where it is, that they will surround the tree and curse it. And the tree will die. They just gather around the tree. They don't come with, weapons of, just mouth. They just take a few days, speak words against the tree. You may think it is juju, but many of the things you call juju, there's nothing juju about it. It's called spiritualism. It's just operating spiritual codes, spiritual laws, spiritual principles. You speak words against something. So, your government wants to do something. You must understand what I'm going to say. I'm not saying judge their intentions. I'm saying declare words. The words that can kill trees. The words that Jesus said can move mountains. Listen, everybody that occupies a position over you, he's been anointed by God to serve you. I don't know what I heard I say. Like I said earlier, you're a wife, your husband is anointed. It's your job to go and activate his anointing. You are a citizen. Your president is anointed. Make up your mind whether you want to activate his anointing or you want to kill it. I made a statement here some time ago that the way my countrymen were behaving, let's understand spiritual principles. I said, if you make Jesus Christ the head of state, you couldn't do many things for them. He said, look, as minister of power, he will not be able to give them constant power. They said, what do I mean by that? I said, the Bible says that he went to his hometown and he could do no mighty work. Was he not anointed? He was anointed. So there's a way we respond to situations and God's power is crippled. It's the word of God. So there's a present over your head. It's your duty to activate his anointing every day. If he fails, let it be a problem between him and his God so that you will not be held responsible at all. After all, God told Ezekiel, if I tell you, go and warn a man, and then the man dies in his sins, I will inquire of his blood from your hand if he did not want him. But if you want him, basically, you free yourself even if he still dies. That is, sometimes you do what is right, ultimately, the thing does not go well. But at least you have done what is right. Lest you be held responsible, you know, for the thing going wrong, being one of those who ruined it in the first place. So government says something, there are words prescribed by God that we use to respond. We greet each other, there are words we are supposed to greet each other with. I hope you're getting my point here. Now these words, that's what I'm talking about, we learn them deliberately. That's what, you know, all this, we've been talking about what? Being deliberate. He said, now, how do I greet my children in the morning? How do I speak to them? You learn those words and write them down until you have memorized them. It becomes your habit. It becomes your habit. Those are the things we call acceptable words. Acceptable with God doesn't mean passable. Okay, we can manage it. No, what are the things that I want you to say? That's the meaning of the word acceptable. What are the things I have instructed that you should say? Let me go back to something I said earlier. Retraining yourself not to enjoy that which is bad. Retrain yourself so that that which is negative, it doesn't rhyme with you. Some time ago, you know, people make a lot of mockery about marriage, you know, all kinds of jokes about marriage. I realized that 9 out of 10 of those jokes are, which word do I use in English? When, you know, when you're just describing something in a bad way. So one day I made up my mind, I'm not going to laugh anymore. So when you crack a bad joke about marriage, I just don't laugh. It's funny, I can't, I'm not laughing. There was a time, they compiled a lot of them. And you know, people were following them around. Very, very funny things. And I laughed. Then one day they said, wait, why are you laughing? What is funny? One man said, my wife and I will go out. We have a, you know, how do you have a good marriage like this? Say, we'll go out to the movies twice a week. I go on Tuesday, she goes on Thursdays. And you will laugh and laugh. After a while, I said, thank you. Why are people laughing at what is bad? So I made up my mind, I'm not laughing again. So when I read the jokes, I don't forward them. Oh, I don't. You won't get such things from me. I feel before, I just felt, I said, listen, before you know what's happening, you are passing the information out there that marriage is to be endured. And you create an atmosphere. And when you create an atmosphere, okay, listen, the kind of atmosphere you create around you, very important. The kind of atmosphere you create around you, in your life, in your environment, that is your community, it affects what God can do for you. It affects what God can do for you. Jesus wanted to heal a man who was blind, dragged him by the hand out of the town. When he finished praying for him, he said, don't go back inside there. You think there's no reason for that? He will have prayed for that man. You think he liked to waste time, move up and down. He said, inside this town, you can't get healed. The atmosphere they have created, the atmosphere these people have created is so spiritually toxic, my power can't flow to this extent. So he told the man, come, follow me. They left the town. He now laid hands on him. What do you see? I see men as trees. So let's do it again. Prayed for the man, then power flowed in the full dose, and the man could see. Now said, listen to me, don't go back into that city, into that village, or is it a town or something? Why? If he went back in there, he will have lost his sight. So sometimes by the words we speak, we create such a toxic atmosphere. Listen, let me just say something here. In a nation like Nigeria today, from the understanding I have of life, if somebody chooses to be a leader, respect him. Respect him. The people are hard to lead. They are hard to lead. One day I told my colleagues in the teaching hospital there, I said, listen, if anybody agrees to be our chief medical director, the second in command to him, provost or dean, they should be respected. I said, you people are difficult to lead. I said, they should be respected. Whatever be their reason for wanting the job, I give them thumbs up. Because except the Lord says to me, Banky, my son, arise. This is a mission for you. I will not take the job. I won't take it. Because they will not let you succeed. The toxic atmosphere. Listen, if God gives me the power, I will sack every civil servant first. And then I go and reapply. I will sack you first. I'm not kidding, no. Then you reapply for the job. I would, you, no, now, it's not because you see, the typical civil servant mindset in our country of today is terrible. Cut 50 naira from their salary, they'll go on strike. But they won't come to work on time or close at the proper time. Yet, you see them demand for rights. Jesus. The point I'm making is that a lot of people create toxic atmosphere around. Then they demand of the leaders operating a toxic atmosphere to succeed. That's what I'm talking about. We create such a toxic atmosphere, then demand, look at Israel. With all the miracles God had done for them. God had, listen, to take them into the promised land, he had to wipe them out. It sounds funny. To take them in, he had to wipe them out. He wiped the whole generation out. Then the next generation now followed Joshua in. He said, these people, no matter how much power I have with you, giants will kill all of you. Because the atmosphere they have that these people have created is too toxic. Nothing good can come out of it. And that's what I'm teaching to believers today. To create the right atmosphere, we use our learned words. We go and learn the right words to speak. There is a, look, listen, even how to greet somebody good night. We Christians must learn the right thing. Have a good night. And of course, you know, like he said, because he has said, therefore we can boldly say, that is, we go to the scriptures, from what he has said, we declare what we are going to use as our greetings, as our responses to situations, based on what he has said. For example, he says, in peace, you will lie down and sleep, for the Lord alone makes you dwell in safety. No evil will befall you. No plague will come near your dwelling place. You put those scriptures together, juggle them around, form a short greeting from it. Sometimes we can become verbose in our greetings. It's the will of God. So the angels of God will watch over you. That can be our, we say that's our standard greeting. For night, want to tell somebody good night, say, sleep well, the angels of God will watch over you. Don't abbreviate it. So that is the full thing. That is our greeting. Acceptable words. Your child is going for exam. Greetings. The spirit of Daniel, the spirit of Joseph, the spirit of excellence that God placed in these people will be with you. Acceptable words. They are to be learned deliberately. We school ourselves in those words. Our greetings shouldn't be inquiries. When you want to make an inquiry, make an inquiry. But when you want to greet, please greet. Peace be unto you. Don't you see the way Paul used to open his letters? He would declare the grace of God upon people. Now we use the grace of God to end meetings. It was a greeting as far as Paul was concerned. It wasn't to end meetings. The grace of the Lord be with your spirit. That is, you come to see him in the house as you are going. Say, the grace of God be with your spirit. What it means is that overcome temptations, overcome trials, overcome challenges. Fulfill the ministry of God that has placed in your life. That's what it means by that short sentence. The grace of God be with you. And they go, see you now. That's not Christianity. Oh, I get my point. That's not Christianity. That's not Christianity. Friend said, I'm going. Said, the grace of God goes with you. And the person will respond, amen. Listen, when blessings are released, learn to collect them. I've told you before, when somebody says, God bless you, and you too. That is a stupid answer. A stupid answer. God bless you and you too. That bouncing the blessing back. If I tell you, God bless you and you too, I just look and say, I just dashed you. It's like somebody dashed you 1,000 naira and say, I give the person 1,000 naira back. Do you get my friend? It's a very, very stupid answer. Someone tells you, God bless you. Amen. And listen, when it's your senior, don't bless him by walk away. Don't bless him back. When I tell you, God bless you, tell him, amen, and you go. You don't... And your sinners, you say, ah, we'll be praying for you, sir. Not the man tells you, God bless you, say, and you too. Learn to bless people when you are greeting them. And when you have been blessed, please collect the blessing. Collect it. You know, Jesus said, when you get to a house, say to them, peace be upon this house. He lets you know that that blessing can return. He said, if a man of peace is there, your blessing will remain. Your peace will remain. But if he's not there, what will happen? It will return to you. What does that tell you? A blessing release can be bounced back. And people are experts at bouncing back blessings. Somebody said something the other day. I mean, I learned something. Like I said, we keep on learning. Before, if I go to a church, maybe I'm carrying my Bible, and someone says, I want to carry for you. You understand? They say, no, I say, no, I can carry my own Bible. Someone now said, if they are young people, let them serve. Since that day, it's only if you're an elder, you don't carry my Bible, I will refuse. But a young person wants to carry my Bible, I give it to you. I give you my handkerchief. Remove my shoe. Hold on. No, before it was humility, I just wanted to, look, let me do my, I can carry my own Bible. Until some person said, look, bless the young people. And when he said it, I said, oh, I didn't see it from that perspective before. So when the young person now offers to carry my bag, I release it. Take it, because it's a blessing I just gave you. Before I would have carried it myself. Until I got that instruction. Talking about acceptable words, there are things we believers will learn. We learn how, as husbands and wives, and husbands and wives, we learn how to address each other. As parents and children, we learn the words that are good, and we make them a habit. In the second, in the institutions around us, we learn how to respond. If, you know, listen. If you are not feeling well, somebody says, how are you doing? You can learn a biblical way to answer that will not, like this. How do I say it? It won't be like you're joking. You know, sometimes we turn some things to jokes. All right? No, it is well is even good. If you say it is well, it is good. But I don't like things like, I am strong. Personal, that's just personal. But if it works for you, fine. There's nothing wrong with like, I am not feeling well, but I am getting better. To me, I think it's okay. Now, the power of God is working in me. I was feeling very down yesterday, but I'm getting better. You know what I found out in this life? Now it's both prophetic and testimony. You will always get better. Amen. Say amen.
Amen.
Even though you are down, you will rise up again.
Amen.
I don't care how long you have been down, you will rise up again.
Amen.
There are times I don't feel well, but you know what? I always expect to get well. Always, always, 100% of the times. If a doctor is handling my case, he go frustrate him. I will frustrate him with hope. That is, there's not you want to tell me that, let's go and check. Once the thing sounds negative, say, don't worry, doctor, you won't find it. If you find that, say, it didn't look well. Me, I will live long. These are just things we learn. Are you getting my point? I'm talking about acceptable words. Believers must learn acceptable words. Know that, listen to this, know that anytime you're talking, your words are being gathered. First, they are being recorded. I hope are you getting my point? Yeah, they are determining things in your life. The words that you speak, they are being recorded. Israel spoke negative words in God's presence, and those words were used against the whole nation. When Job was being tempted, what everybody was listening out for was the word or the words that he would speak. That's what they were listening out for. Angels were keen to hear. Satan, that was the only thing he was there for. To see what he will say. Just to check what the man will say. And I want you to bear it in mind. That's how your life is also. You can apply for a job and that's the fifth one you're applying for. And you get declined. Now, you could respond the way everybody responds. Please listen to this. Now, I said the first thing we said is that you must learn to interpret your life according to the word of God. And actually, when we're talking about people speaking, is based on all the things that we have seen up to this point. So I'm being refused a job. Listen, they are listening out for what you are going to say. The average man will say, that's the problem with this country. Young men can't find jobs. As you have said in his hearing, bam. You've closed your ability to find a job. Or you could simply reply, blessings are commanded. The job that is mine has my name on it and nobody can deny me. This obviously was not mine. Are you seeing that? Responding to the same situation. I hope you're getting my point. Somebody else may say, okay, or you could say that, no problem. Mine is on the way. I'll keep preparing for what God has for me. Just, and listen to what I'm going to say. Go and learn. You know, sometimes when we're learning faith, we learn only how to declare, I claim it, I claim it, I claim it. What about when I'm denied? Because being denied is part of life. It is not fair to think you will never be denied. Listen to me, in life, you will be denied sometimes. People came to Jesus. Let's sit on your left and your right. He said, sorry, no game. I can't grant that one. Paul came to God. Take this thorn away from me. Sometimes we twisted those things because we didn't believe that God could do that. God said to him, my grace is sufficient for you. My power is made perfect in your weakness. So relax. Paul said, therefore, I will glory in my infirmities. What if you are denied? It happens. Moses went to God and begged, let me see the promised land. Let me enter it. The Lord said, don't worry about it. You're not going in. He came a second time. The Lord said, I said you're not going. He came a third time. The Lord said, this is the last time you bring up the matter. It's sealed. That is, you're not even allowed to request for it again, ever. People get denied. Who says that? You know, I said that God never says no. I've heard that gospel for a long time. I tried to believe it at the time. But experience alone, of course, first, there's no good father that never says no. Even the Bible qualifies it. Abide in me. You understand? My words abide in you. Then you will ask what you will. Do you get my point? The Lord Jesus made it clear, all right, that it's only as the word has formed your desires that that's guarantee for the answer. So unless you are telling me you are 100% perfect and you know everything there is to know as a believer, otherwise you will make requests sometimes that God has no choice for your own interest than to say no. There are times I will look and say, ha. Experience has shown me that there are things I asked the Lord for some time ago. I start looking back and say, Lord, thank you for not listening to me. So faith does not mean I always get a yes. Part of faith is for me to have words to say if the answer is no. How do I respond? That's what we're talking about. Now, there's something I want to, you know, I want us to read a few scriptures. Because I said earlier, these are the things we're talking about, words. But words come out of the abundance of the heart. Jesus said in that Luke chapter 6, let's just read it, Luke chapter 6. Then I'll now get to the main scriptures I want to use to explain some things here. Now from verse 43, I'm reading up to 40, down to 45. It says, for there is no good tree which produces bad fruit, nor, on the other hand, a bad tree which produces good fruit. For each tree is known by its own fruit. For men do not gather figs from thorns, nor do they pick grapes from a briar bush. The good man out of the good treasure, now listen to this. The good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth what is good. And the evil man out of the evil treasure that is in his heart brings forth what is evil. For his heart speaks from that which fills his heart. Please bear that in mind. Whether the fellow is good or is bad is known by what he says. Please bear that in mind. But what he says is only a reflection of what has filled the heart. That is, if we are going to speak words that are right in the sight of God, if we are going to speak acceptable words, it will be because we have filled our hearts also with acceptable truth, with the knowledge of the word of God. Two scriptures I want us to read quickly. Colossians chapter 3 and Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 15. It says, therefore, be careful how you walk, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of your time because the days are evil. So then, do not be foolish, but understand what the will of God is. And do not get drunk with wine, for this is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit. Now, when you are filled with the Spirit, this is what happens, verse 19. Speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody with your heart to the Lord, always giving thanks for all things in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to God, even the Father, and be subject to one another in the fear of Christ. Now, what I want there is that verse 18, when it says that, do not get drunk with wine, but be filled with the Spirit. Now, when we read this before those days, what we thought was that, of course, literally what this says is this. Keep being filled with the Spirit. That's what it says. That's what it's trying to say. That is a continual process. It's not something you do once and it is done. So we say, the impression we had those is that you need laying on of hands again to fill with the Spirit. Are you getting my point? You need to have the fire fall from heaven to fill with the Spirit, because in the beginning, in the book of Acts, they were filled with the Spirit and they spoke in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. But like I've said here in recent times, the word Spirit in the Bible has a lot of uses. Yes, that flowing, filling of the Holy Spirit is one thing. Love is another word that Spirit is used to describe. Motivation is another word that Spirit is used to describe, or another thing that Spirit is used to describe. But in this context, what was Paul saying? If you're not here with us then, please get a series in which we analyze Ephesians and Colossians in our School of Bible Exegesis. Now, in this context, what was Paul saying? The book of Ephesians was a book written as an encyclical, a book of doctrine for all the churches. But he took this book and then wrote a smaller version and sent it to the Colossian church. And for that reason, let's open to that portion in the book of Colossians chapter 3 to see exactly what Paul was saying here. Remember, we're talking about the heart being filled with the right things so that the mouth can bring forth that which is right. Colossians chapter 3. Again, let me just look for where to start. Let's start from verse 15. I'm reading to verse 16 and 17. Yeah. He said, and let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body, and be thankful. Now, notice verse 16. Let the word of Christ richly dwell within you, with all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with thankfulness in your hearts to God. And whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks through him to God the Father. Now, what I want to bring out from here is how he expressed be filled with the Spirit in the book of Colossians. The same thing he said in Ephesians chapter 5. He's saying the same thing in Colossians chapter 3 in verse 16. In Ephesians chapter 5, he said, do not be drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be what? Filled with the Spirit. The same thing he said in Colossians chapter 3. He said, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. I hope you're getting my point here. What are we trying to bring out? The way by which you speak the right words with little effort on your part is not by starting with words, but by filling your heart with the right words. Please, I hope you're getting my point here. That's why I left this till the end. First of all, we talked about interpreting our lives from God's word. We talked about having our expectations, our desires, what our lives should be like from the word of God. We talked about building precepts of our life on God's word. And last of all, we talked about words that we speak. These words come out of the things that we have filled our hearts with already. That is the assignment for the believer. I hope you're getting my point. Is to settle down and fill his life, fill her heart with the word of God. That we do deliberately. Now, you know what I'm discussing now is one of my favorite topics. Since I started ministry, anytime I get here, I get happy. Encouraging believers to fill their hearts with the word. I always get excited. I say all the time, you know what God said? To whom much is given? To whom much is given? That is, God expects me to be able to quote many more scriptures than Abraham. I don't know what I heard I said. We used to say that, which Bible did Abraham read that has so much faith? That is true. But the Bible says, to whom much is given, much is expected. I thought about it. A man like David. This was yesterday, I was just meditating about these things. A man like David, what Bible did he have? Have you ever thought about it? Because Samuel had not been written. Kings had not been written. All those prophets, Isaiah, they had not come. There was no Jeremiah. There was no other prophet. They are not going to exile and all of that. So Esther had not been written. Most of those books, the only books they had, he would have had, is Genesis to Deuteronomy. I don't think there's any other one that had been written at that time. Okay, Job. Which other one? Job. Chronicles was after him. Kings was after him. Joshua. Yes, Joshua. Yes, yeah, let's not forget Joshua. I don't think Judges was already there because Judges, Ruth, I think they were compiled by Samuel. So at, when he was a young boy, he didn't have all those things to read. So he probably just had from Genesis down to Joshua. And that's all the books he had. I believe he had instructions directly from Samuel. That's me. I thought about all of those people. That was just about yesterday. So which book did they have to read? It's not funny, not to have a Bible. They didn't have. But the Bible says, to whom much is given, much is expected. Now, and as a matter of fact, God expects us to do better than everybody that lived in previous generations. Yes. Why? Because not only do we have the complete Bible, like one we have today, we have greater access than any previous generation. You hear what I said? Yeah, the Bible was complete hundreds of years ago. But it was not available to every human being until recently, just a few hundreds of years up to this point. And until 20, 30 years ago, each Bible you wanted, what am I saying? Until 5 years ago, each Bible you needed, you had to go and buy. And then they had these Bibles, they are 4-in-1, that were half your body weight when you are carrying them. Remember them? The one I liked most had King James, New American Standard, Amplified, and what's the fourth one? An NIV. And then, when they want to honor a man of God, you buy him that load. Then Dangote cement, you give it to him. But I look back and it's so ridiculous. Like, what? Did anybody do that? Because you take your smartphone. How many Bibles do you have on your smartphone? Because I can't even count. I have access to hundreds of them. The ones I have downloaded, not too many, maybe like just 20, thereabout. Are you getting my point? But the access, you version. To whom much is given? Kingdom World Ministries, we even distribute our messages on SD card, 32 gig containing over 700 messages that you can technically get for free. The SD card is not free, but you can take it, copy it, send it to somebody else. No, like that. 32 gig. And I don't know the phone you use, the one I use comes embedded, 256 gig. Is it 256 or 128? I don't even know again. But let's even assume it's 128. Now, if we load 700 Pastor Banky messages, Derek Prince messages, give me all the messages, they can't fill my phone. And literally, they are there. They can't fill the phone. To whom much is given? Let's not talk about books. Now on Kingdom, at least Kingdom World website, almost all the books I've written, almost all, just a few, are available for free download. I remember when I was looking for John Alexander Dowie, The Story of the Man. I checked and checked on Amazon US. The cheapest I could get was $200 or so. And this is an old book because it says it's collector's item. Ha! I said, which kind of wicked people are these ones? So something just crossed my mind. I went to Amazon UK and I saw it for £10. Now, why was the book so difficult to find? It's out of print. You had to get somebody else's old one. Then somebody had his own on Amazon UK, you know, and said to sell it, £10. Immediately I called my friend in the UK. I said, oh boy, You are coming home next week. He said yes. Please, I sent him the link. Buy this book for me and bring it. He said, I'm not sure it will arrive before I come. I said, just buy it and keep it. So he arrived in Nigeria. He came to Enugu at the airport. I wasn't looking at him. I was looking at his bag. As soon as I picked him up, he brought out my book and handed it to me. That very nice book. He read it on the plane. So he finished it on the plane. I said, ah, thank you very much. I was so happy. I took the book. Oh, my Alexander Dawe. Oh, I missed you. I read the book. I forgot how many years ago. And I wanted to read it again. You know, a few months down the line, I think somebody heard me preach like that. I think he just sent me a link. Said, Oga, why did he look for the book? See the PDF free download now. Are you see what I'm saying? Many books that we know, we're looking for those days, they are now available all over the place. Free download PDF. Messages we'll look for. Say, there's a message I heard many years ago. Just go to YouTube. Bam. Google is your friend. To whom much is given? Why you have time for Facebook to be chatting around this world is what I don't understand. Because there's so much positive things to fill your heart with. And God has a greater demand. No wonder Jesus said, those who believe in him, greater works they will do. Because you have greater access to, you know, to information, to revelation, as a matter of fact. In this generation, there's no reason for Christians to walk in darkness and in ignorance except they love it. Yes. No, just want to be stupid. Just wake up in the morning, I don't like knowledge, I don't like wisdom. Foolishness is my portion, I claim it. That's the only reason. Apple came out with the smartphone, said we have to sell our houses to buy. God said, don't worry. He went to China, breathed on the Chinese man, they made all kinds of Android phones. So that now, it is rare. It's only those who don't want a smartphone that don't have. Because even if you can't buy, somebody will use one, get tired, and hand it down to you. No matter how cheap even the dull phones are, they can play MP3 and they can take an SD card. Have you noticed? They give you touchlight, radio, and a music player. And they have not started the phone function yet, though. All other things are added onto you. Touchlight, radio, and what? A music player. Listen, people of God, there's no reason why we should walk in ignorance. Everything is fighting for our attention. That's what I'm talking about. Now, you have to deliberately fill your head. Now, I'm starting with your head. Just fill your head. Let words fill your head from scriptures. You have a smart device. There's one thing I do a lot of times. You know, if I wake up at night, almost as a rule, my phone is usually beside me. It's plugged there. It's charging overnight. A lot of times before I sleep, but that's what I even use to sleep. Say, at least this word will soak in. I just open to my list of messages. Just tap one. Say, the Derek Prince wants to talk about walking in the spirit. I just click it. Don't worry, I know I will sleep off. Why won't I sleep off? For goodness, it's 12 midnight. But 5 minutes before I sleep off, the man will read two scriptures. I may not remember the scriptures, but it is inside. I've dreamt funny dreams before. I wake up, why am I dreaming? It's the Derek Prince I was preaching. And I was acting out his preaching in my dreams. Whether I like it or not, you know the thing, it soaks in. It forms the way you think. It forms the way you reason. One of the things that has helped me the most in life is testimonies when men of God give the testimonies of their lives. I have this series, My Life and Ministry by Kenneth Hagin. Sometimes I just put it there, let it just play. Let it just play. Let it just fill your head, fill your heart with simple information. Listen, you know, Solomon said something. Let me quickly just drop this. Solomon said something. He said, I tried all kinds of things. I tried to drink. There was vanity, right? I ate until I was full. It was vanity. I said I would be wise. There was not too much sense. But you know one thing he said? I said, let me try foolishness. I dropped that one sharp, sharp. Go and read it. That was one thing Solomon did not hold for more than 2 days. He said, foolishness is foolish. How can somebody walk like this? Solomon would rather be drunk than be foolish. No, go and read it. He said, I try foolishness. He said, foolishness is madness. He said, at least a wise man's eyes are in his head. But a fool knows nothing. Solomon said, no. This is my experiment, not reach this level. Please. What am I trying to explain? You can't walk in ignorance. It is madness. When Solomon talked about foolishness, it means not being aware of the environment. That's what he meant. Not having information. Saying you're a Christian, you're not even aware of what the Bible says. So you are being tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine. Let it even be that you wrongly interpreted the scripture, but at least know it. At least know it. One man was quoting the other day that Saul did not appear before Samson empty-handed. Before Samuel empty-handed. You just say, okay, Samuel is not God. That would be your simple answer. One day I was at home. I was listening to one message. One man of God was preaching. And he said the prophet came to see him. And he laughed and said, God does not send prophets to prophets. I just paused the message. I told my mother, it's a lie. I quickly quoted a few scriptures. The young prophet that went to Jeroboam, God sent the old prophet to him. I quoted that David, according to the Bible, was a prophet. Yet God sent Nathan to him. After I dropped two like that, my mother said, ha! People like you are hard to deceive. That's what I remember. He said, people like you are hard to deceive. I said, waiting. How can you tell me God does not send prophets to prophets? Of course he sends prophets to prophets. It's in the scriptures like that. He sends prophets to prophets. After all, they were prophets and teachers, and yet one of them prophesied, separate for me, Paul and Barnabas. It wasn't Paul that headed himself. The Holy Spirit had to speak through somebody else. Now, I'm going to say something here. My mother said simply, no. If you have information, it's hard to be deceived. Fill your heart. And I tell you, I always like it when I get there. Christians, listen. If you're a preacher and you have not read God's Generals, you know your ministry has a problem from the beginning. There are books out there that you must fill your heart with. How can you say you want to learn faith? You have not read Kenneth Hagin. Try. Read him first. You hear us quote things like, I always say, anybody that has not read Happiest People on Earth, that's not my friend. In fact, you know, if I used to say you are not my friend. Now, what am I saying now? You are my enemy. Before I said you are not my friend, you are neutral. But now I realize you don't like me. Thank God you don't go to MFM. Or that you have been calling fire against me. How could I have been talking about such a book for this length of time? And as at now, you haven't read it. Have you read it? You have a hand. See? That's how you know my friends. That's how you know my friends. The point is this, if you don't read those books, there are mistakes you will make with your life. It was in that book I first understood that a man of God can be dishonest and yet be anointed. You know, there are little things I just give you. You know, when I tell somebody, like I told that one man was preaching, and I pinched my wife, I said he's lying. What gave you the boldness? It's things like that give you boldness for such things. Because you've read the testimony that this man was anointed, but he loved money. And then he died. So going into ministry, I realized that if we want to live long, we must not love money. I hope you're getting my point. We step from books like that into God's Generals. And these are things, sometimes when I see preachers, when they have not read some things, I'll be wondering, do you want God to kill you to teach you a lesson? Because he has killed other people so that you can learn a lesson. He has blessed other people so you can learn a lesson. Must your own life be another experiment? Why don't you just sit down and learn what others have seen? Like I just mentioned to you in a book like John Alexander Dowie. Listen, go and read the book. Anointed Man. But things went terribly wrong with his ministry and with his life. And for all we know, he died prematurely. There is a reason for it. And we owe ourselves the duty to learn those things. Because know the truth, God, no matter how much he loves you, he still judges you. And it's very, very fair. God will love Moses and call Moses and still kill Moses. Basically telling Moses, if you don't want to die, circumcise this boy. That's what happened. It was still going to kill him. So we learn these things from reading. That's why Paul told Timothy, give attention to the public reading of scripture so that people will be filled with the knowledge of truth. I said everything I said at the beginning, that to whom much is given, much is expected. The smart device you have in your hands is not meant for gossip. Everything God makes can be misused. I hope you get my point. And most of smart devices are misused. They are misused. They are used for spreading negative things. One man that was killed by his neighbor, you will show us his beheaded body and forward it to us. What are you? The Bible says, blessed on the mountains at the feet of those that bear good tidings. Turn it upside down. That scripture is still correct. Cursed in the valley at the heads of those that bring bad news. You should be a bearer of good news. Let people be encouraged by words that come from you. Sow good seeds into their lives. Many people use their smart devices to generate anger in the society. If headsmen kill anybody, it's not from my mouth you will hear. That is not from my phone. I won't forward it to you. But if they rescue somebody, I will forward that one to you quickly. Don't worry, you are still safe if you are traveling. The angels of God are with you. Amen? The misuse of smart devices. You sit down on Facebook following Kim Kardashian. Is it Instagram? You should know that you are an adulterer at heart. Is it adulteress? Men don't follow Kim Kardashian. It's women. Do men follow Kim Kardashian? Men do. Ha. Please, you need to give your life to Christ. Any man like that here today, how do I deliver this one? No, do men do such things? Okay, what are you looking for? So, what are they looking for? Is that any men watch the world? Do they watch the world? Sorry. Men do? Z word. Okay. You know, is this generation? All these transgender men, we have to deliver. We have to deliver them. The Lord is good. The sin of men is football, you know now. Yes, that's their own sin, iniquity. Watching football is not a sin. Keeping up with everything they are doing is iniquity. You're like, Pastor Mike, are you serious? Do I look like I'm joking? Every time you use for something, it's why you don't have to do something else. I hope you get my point. In life, it's called opportunity cost. In fact, the amount of money the players are being paid should provoke you not to watch too much. So after running up and down, shouting like this, you guys will earn 120 million naira in a month. You've never sent me a recharge card. Say, I'm not watching again. Just use that one to deceive yourself into stopping. I mean, are they going to send money to you anyway? No, the sin of man, you know, everybody has his own iniquity. What am I going to say? Let's not misuse the smart devices God has given us. Now, it's not the smart device that's my issue now, but that we are to use every opportunity to fill our hearts with truth. Form chat groups with your friends. Form a chat group. I said this chat group is scripture alone. No news, no birthday. I don't want anything. Don't greet anybody in his birthday. Just say this one, we just want to use it for what? Scriptures. Any new scripture you learn, any new truth, if you get a quote that is nice from anybody, drop it here. Let's interact with one another. If you have questions, drop it here. Let the word of Christ dwell richly in you. Please, let me just say the word of Christ, not the word of witchcraft. I just feel like dropping that. What I mean by word of Christ, word of witchcraft, not how to manipulate God to get something. We are talking about just knowing truth and being filled with the knowledge of truth. For example, you just discovered that, do you know God was the one that had in the heart of Pharaoh? Say, what does that mean? Somebody drops it. And that person adds a word. So why would God harden a man's heart? He said, because of the disobedience of his youth that he did not repent from. That day you have learned something. The quote is April Fool. Somebody drops a scripture in the morning, like a madman firing bullets recklessly. So it is the one who deceives his neighbor and says, I was only joking. You hear that in the morning, the whole day you will walk in righteousness. Please, I hope you're getting my point here. For goodness sake, music is good though. But secular music, most of the times, they are bad. You know, when I was a young Christian, we were forbidden. I grew up, I realized that there's no law that says I can't listen to secular music. Then I grew up more and realized that it is lawful, but it's not expedient. Many of the best secular musicians I've heard, they are high on something, including Two-Face. And Two-Face is one of the sinless Nigerian musicians. Am I lying? That's secular musician. The guy is one of the sinless. The other day, this is our brother, Fino. Release one album. He couldn't put Olamide inside. I said, Moss, you use Olamide to spoil this thing. That song is very nice. Worship by Fino. Then, maybe for one reason that he went and he did collabo with Olamide. That one just used his Lagos. Igbo, thank you. He just used and spoiled. I said, God, why? That's a song we'll have been playing and playing and playing. Before Bible Study starts, we'll listen to one line by Fino. Most of them, when they start talking, I like good music. I like the sound of it. But after listening to some of them 2-3 times, I get tired. You know why? They never lift up your spirit. They can't. They never lift up your spirit. You listen to it, and after a while, I said, but let me hear what. The other day, I wanted to remember. I remembered fellas, teacher, don't teach me nonsense. So I went and looked for the music. I listened to it, I think, 2 times. After that, I threw it away. I said, what is it? This one, you abuse the whole government. I abuse everybody. I abuse your father. I abuse your mother. I abuse me. With good, you know, beats and everything. The beat was so nice, but it was so painful that the guy just, I said, bros, I noticed myself just, I'm not in the house. Teacher, teacher. I said, eh? Man of God, it's enough. It's enough. It's enough. Thank you, thank you. You know, I had to clear such things. Just call Nathaniel Bassi. Just play Nathaniel Bassi for 2 days. He will cleanse you of all unrighteousness. The Lord is good. What's the point I'm making? We deliberately fill our environment with truth. In your car, have a message playing constantly. When you remove the message, put music. That's gospel music. When you remove gospel music, put a message. When you remove a message, put Bible on that's audio Bible. When you remove that one, put a gospel music. When you remove that one, put a message. Sometimes you hear me say that, this person said, you think I have the time all the time to sit down and listen to people? A lot of times when I'm driving. A lot of times I wake up at night. I just put the message, you know, put it on. If I don't want to disturb my wife, I put the pillow on it and lie on the pillow. Then after a while, one day my wife said that she don't mind disturbing, I should just leave it on. But there are times she wakes up, she wants to hear it too. Sometimes I kill messages, they play from 11 p.m. till 4 a.m. Around 4 a.m. and I wake up, stop it so I can get some good sleep because they have this habit of waking you up periodically. I said, let me get a constant sleep. And I put it up around 4 a.m., 3 a.m. Even if I'm sleeping most of the time, something is entering. Trust me, something is entering. I hope you're getting my point here. Listen, Christians, every time, have a book you are reading. Have a book you are reading. You have read it before, means nothing. No. Most of the books I'm reading, I have read before. In fact, messages that I listen to, 9 out of 10, I have listened to it before. It's only 1 out of 10 that is new. There's one message by Kenneth Hagin answering the call. I can preach that message with a man. But when I want to be inspired by him, that's the one I put. I'm telling you, I can preach, that is, as I know what he wants to say next. I don't think I've listened to that message less than 100 and something times. And that's not exaggerating at all. Yet, if I just feel like being inspired by Kenneth Hagin, you know what I do? I put that same message again. People of God, each time have a Bible portion you are reading. I hope you're getting my point. Listen, it said, let the word of Christ dwell in you, how? Richly. That is in abundance. You should know more scripture than you know football. You should know more scripture than you know fashion. For those of you who follow funny people. You should know more scripture than you know movies. and should know more scripture than all of these combined. You know what? You will find out that the Bible, like I said at the beginning, has prescribed an acceptable word for every situation. And that word will come out of you easier. You know the truth about it? Sometimes you don't even know the word is there. You know what David said? He said, my rain doth instruct me in the night seasons. I know what I said about that. It means I first instructed it in the day season. That in the time of pressure, something inside my heart spoke up. But that was because when there was no pressure, I put it inside there. I hope you're getting my point. Listen, a holy competition you should have between yourself and your friend is how many books you have read. Serious books. So. Those days when I was in university, oh God, the kind of people I lived with. I've told you their stories before. Interesting human beings. When they wanted to fight, they fought with the word of God. That is, they are quarreling. And when I say quarrel now, serious quarrel that leads to people not talking to each other. But it's from scriptures. Paul said, no, that was not how Paul said it. They will be bringing versions of the Bible to argue with each other. Once I got the book, The Father and His Family, by A.W. Kenyon. One brother is a pastor in Lagos now. I saw him reading the book, went for a book fair. I abandoned the books in the book fair, and I said, sir, while you are reading these books, looking at the books in the book fair, can I be reading this one? So I stood in a corner, and I was reading. After some time, maybe like 30 minutes, he wanted to leave. He said he's leaving, I should give him his book, so I gave it to him. Then I got to my hostel in the evening. I saw him outside, washing clothes. So I got there and said, good afternoon, sir. We saw earlier today at the book fair. While you are washing, can I be reading that book? Seriously. He said, you like this book so much. Okay, I give you for 2 days. What did he say? 2 days. Do I need to tell you, the book followed me everywhere. I did little else but study The Father and His Family by E.W. Kenyon. I read it and read it and read it. But like I always say, that is not the story. So after 2 days, I gave him back his book. Then one day, I was shining with the book in my room, telling people how what I read. And the president of my fellowship that time, my roommate, we used to call him Pastor E. Pastor E said that he read the book. I said, where did you get it? He said, no, that same one you were reading. I said, no, how could you have read it? I had it with me all the time, and I read it all the time. He said, no, that one day he came to the room. Coming from class, because he wanted to sleep. And he found me asleep. And the book was just on the table beside me. He sat down from 11 p.m. till 5 a.m. I said, Pastor E, he said, yes. That I finished the book that night. By the time he woke up in the morning, I had finished with the book. I don't know whether you're getting my point. When I woke up in the morning, he was done. That's how come in those 2 days that guy gave me, that I had the book with me all the time, the man read it, and I was not aware. He didn't tell me. It was when I was, that one. I read it while men slept, you know, like the Bible said. My people of God, you know what we used to do? We didn't have the money, so we photocopied the book. Somebody will bring a book, we'll carry, we'll go and photocopy. That's how we give people gifts. I've told you my testimony. In the year 1994, I listened to Bishop Oyedepo alone for over 500 hours in the period of 8 months. Now, I'm not saying he's the only man I listened to. I'm saying that the one I calculated, that excludes all the other ministers I listened to during the same period. One day I laughed. My friend said, look at him. He's laughing like Bishop. I'm serious. I didn't even know I was laughing like Bishop. One day I went through Kenehagen books. And I found that there was none I had not read. Not one. Any Kenehagen book I've not read now was released after the man died. The only ones I had not read were the ones that are daily devotionals. You know, they just extracted them and compiled them into daily reading. Faithful for this, faithful. So I didn't have to read down because they were daily devotionals. And they were extracted from the other books anyway. But all the other books, every single one of them, every single one I had read. Every single one. What am I trying to say? Christians, I want to wake us up to it again. Let's make reading a habit. It's only the heart that's filled with knowledge, that's not tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine. It's only the heart that is filled with the truth of Christ that can open, you understand, the mouth can open thereof, and utter words that are acceptable to God. Otherwise, you utter words that are just uttering somebody else's words. Once my mother said she heard that I was spending all my money buying tapes that my aunt or my auntie said. And I said, at least I remember she said, it's all my money, not all her money. That is, and this was not a joke. They knew me in the tape market. They actually thought maybe I used to sell. They didn't know they were personal use materials. People go and buy one cassette. I didn't used to buy one cassette. I bought packs. I go at a time, buy 30. If you give me a message, listen to it. I don't listen to it. I first make a copy. I return your original to you. Then I go and listen to it. If I don't like it, I can wipe my tape after. If I loved you, I wanted to show you my love for you, was a tape I gave you. First time I met my wife, I went to pay her a visit. I said, let me not go empty-handed. What will I take? Go for discoveries, Bishop Oyedepo. That was my gift. Take. I finally had two copies. You know why? When I married her, she brought that one back into the house. I hope you're getting my point. Listen, I grew up in university when, you know, sometimes people will even go and listen to tongues and come and speak it. It got that crazy. One of our brothers, he came to fellowship, was ministering one day. I said, I've heard that tongue before. You know, in my mind. I've heard that thing before. I still remember the tongue. I can still speak a bit of it for you. Why? Because we got the Kenneth Hagin tape. When he listened to it, he now carried it to fellowship, come and minister. He begins to speak tongue like Kenneth Hagin. Hey, guy, bros, not like that. But at least that's the kind of crazy thing. It's good madness. Are you getting my point? That's the kind of it's good madness. If that's what we are doing, it's good. It's good. I hope you're getting my point here. What am I doing this evening as I close? I want you to get angry with ignorance. Don't wait for Pastor Mbaki to tell you everything. He can't. Do you get my point? Get these materials we talk about. Eat them. Know them. Take your Bible. At least know the letters of the Bible. So that the Spirit has something to breathe upon. Know your Bible. Read it. It's no longer written in Latin. Now, there's Bible in any language you speak. I hope you know that. Some people, their only assignment in this life is to bring Bible into any language they hear. There are languages that are only written. They only have a written form because missionaries said that they must be able to read the word. So they converted that language to a written form, then translated the Bible into the written form. So there's no reason to be ignorant in this generation. That's why I said, to whom much is given, much is expected. And I'm telling to you this evening, God is expecting much from you. He gave you that smart device in your hand. It's your own Roman road. It's your way by which the word of God will fill your heart entirely. There was a time that it didn't happen that I didn't listen to 2 hours of a message in a day. Every day I did 2 hours. Sometimes I'm not even driving. I'm just sitting down. Two straight hours. This. Of course, you sacrifice something. You sacrifice a match. This, no matter how much football you know, it's not taking you anywhere. I hope you get my point. So they help you argue when you're arguing with jobless people like yourself. That's all. You will not say anything constructive. So I'm not saying don't watch football at all, but cut it down by just 90%. Only 90%. Manage the balance 10%. That's extra time to feed with the word of Christ so that you can do what? Speak words that are acceptable. Don't forget, life and death, where are they? The power of the tongue. Can we bow down our heads to give the Lord thanks? That's the end of our series, Building Up Your Faith. Say, Lord, thank you for truth. Thank you for freedom. Thank you for revelation. In the name of Jesus, we have prayed. Amen. As you depart from here, goodness will go with you in Jesus' name. Amen. Favor will go with you in the name of Jesus. Amen. Ability for righteousness will go with you in Jesus' name. Amen. Sickness will fall away from you in Jesus' name. Amen. Confusion is removed from you in the name of Jesus. Amen. Danger is removed from you in the name of Jesus. Amen. Divine protection wraps around you better in the name of Jesus. Amen. The love of God wraps around you in the name of Jesus. Amen. No evil will befall you. Amen. And no plague will come near your dwelling place. Amen. I feel like saying that again. Whether you're at home or you're on the road, you are traveling back, you're in the air, you are going by sea, you are going by road, whatever it is, no evil will befall you.
Amen.
No plague will come near your dwelling place.
Amen.
The affliction that God has sent to the wicked will not come to your home.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
As the spirit of death missed the houses of the Israelites when they were in Egypt, so will your house be shielded in Jesus' name.
Amen.
The blood of Jesus covers you entirely.
Amen.
Covers your household.
Amen.
Therefore, you will not fear.
Amen.
I rebuke fear out of your life.
Amen.
Every pain in your body, I command it to disappear.
Amen.
And I release you into the freedom that is in Christ Jesus.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus, we have prayed. Passed into life. We have passed out of darkness into the light of Christ. We have passed out from under the curse into the blessing. All things have passed away in our lives. We are now filled with the Spirit of Christ. We live above sin and walk above the devil, because we are seated high above with Christ. This is our season of multiplication, dominion, and manifestation. In the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Quickly bless three people around you, please. This is your season.